And in amongst all that, yeah, I can't hear. Yeah, there we go. I was going to say I can't hear me. Can you hear me? And Friday at 11 is on as well. I know Dulcie was concerned. She's been telling me for the last month, but Friday 11's not mentioned in any of that advertising. I say it's okay. It's definitely on. We've got a few things to sort out yet, but it's on. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, I want to thank you that you have shown your love to us. Lord, you've poured out your love to us. Lord, you've even embraced us in your love, drawing us to yourself. And Lord, I just want to thank you for that. Lord, I want to thank you for drawing me to yourself. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, as we remind our communion, for all the times that you run after. You run after me. You bring me back. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, we would never take your love for granted, but that we would, our love for you would deepen, would respond. And Lord, I just pray as we come around your word this morning, as we take time looking at your word, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would speak through this word, you'd speak through me this morning. Lord, open our hearts to hear what you want to say. And Lord, I pray that, yeah, Lord, that you would have something for each of us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to read this morning from John chapter 14. And I'm going to start at verse 1. And we'll read a few verses down to verse 14, actually, just to get a bit of an idea of what Jesus is saying here. So John 14, verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." I wonder if there's one thing it would take to make you satisfied. You know, that if I could just have this, I would be satisfied. A couple of weeks ago, that scripture at the high school, we talked about gambling. We gamble responsibly. And, of course, we finished with, the safest form of gambling is to trust your life to Jesus. But the whole idea of gambling really is about, you know, just wanting something more, about getting something more. And actually every addiction really is like that. If I can just have this one more thing. And yet many of us who may not consider ourselves to be addicted. We would confine ourselves thinking, you know, if I can just have this, you know, if I could just win the lotto, if I could just see this, you know, if I could just go to this place, then I will be satisfied. If I could just have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, if I could just have a spouse, then I will be satisfied. And really, that's the whole concept of our Western culture is built on this whole idea of just, you know, wanting more of something else. If we can just have this one more thing, this extra thing, then we will be satisfied. And even just recently, I was just thinking about this thing called the economy. I mean, that's built on that. It's not built on, you know, making sure that everybody has some food, clothing and shelter, but it's built on, you know, we need to get people wanting more. And so we find that there is never a satisfaction if that's what our life is built on, that there's never a contentment. There's never a place of contentment. Now, of course, there is a sort of contentment that is dangerous. And to me, it's very obvious, or most obvious in sport. You know, I think about with cricket quite often, well, cricket in particular, but all sorts of sport, that, you know, the batsmen quite often get themselves out. I think, oh, I've scored a few runs, play a bad shot, they get out. Oh, that's okay, I scored a few runs, I'm happy with that. But quite often the ones who are the best are not just the most talented, but the ones who are not satisfied or never satisfied. And we can take this to sporting teams, you know, football teams, football teams that perhaps should have dominated a competition for several years, but having won one or two premierships, you know, they're not willing to put in the work it takes any longer. There's a contentment there that causes them to rest. And we can become content where we settle for something less. You know, we're satisfied with something less than what we could have. We're satisfied with something less than what even that God has for us. And in verse 8, Philip talks about something being sufficient. He says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. The New King James says, is sufficient. The Old King James, you know, it sufficeth us. Try saying that out loud. It sufficeth us. Other translations, it is enough. It satisfies. And that's that idea of satisfaction. For Philip, he's saying that he will have enough. He will be satisfied. Or he's speaking actually on behalf of all the disciples. If they can be shown the Father, if they can see us the Father, see the Father. Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And what I want to talk about this morning is I want to take Philip's words there. Because it is only in being shown the Father, it is only in seeing the Father that we will find sufficiency, that we will be satisfied, that we will be content. That we can't actually be content or satisfied, we can't actually be sufficient unless we see the Father. And so we need to talk about that idea of sufficiency, what it means. But it's the same as in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where Paul is, you know, asked for something to be taken away from him. And he says, and he, that is the Lord, said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the Lord was saying to Paul that his grace was sufficient. His grace was all he needed. That the grace of God fully equipped him for whatever he faced, for whatever it was that he was going through, for whatever he was called to. And the same for us, the grace of God fully equips us for whatever we face, whatever we go through, whatever we are called to. You know, we don't have to worry about, you know, if I can have this and something more, if we could know the grace of God. And the idea of sufficiency, the idea of when Philip talks about it's sufficient for us, he's talking about being fully equipped. In Philippians 4, verse 11, you know, it's a similar word, the same root word there says, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. The word, you know, in English there is translated most often content, but it's that same idea. Whatever state Paul was in, he had strength for it. Not just to survive, but to serve God. And if we read the context there in Philippians chapter 4, it says, you know, it doesn't matter whether I've got a little, whether I've got a lot, but I can content because, you know, God gives me enough. You know, because it goes on, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because he's sufficient. He's content in Christ. Knowing Christ gives him all the strength that he needs. The same as what Philip said, show us the Father. So here Jesus is giving instructions to the disciples, what it will mean for them. You know, we know these are the last hours before he's arrested. This is in the time between the Last Supper and the arrest in Gethsemane. And in verses 1 to 4 there's that beautiful promise of Jesus' return. And he says, when I do, you know, he says, I'm coming back. I'm not going to leave you here. You know, just go and never come back. I'm coming back for you. He said, but when I do, I'm going to take you to be with me. He said, there's plenty of room in my Father's house. There's that promise. There's the promise of a place with him in heaven. And he's telling them this because this will help to keep them going. You know, that there's going to be trials. There's going to be challenges. But if you could remember that Jesus is returning and that there is room for you in heaven, that he's coming to take you to the Father and be with him, then this will keep you going. But that's when Philip speaks. But he says, you know, Philip's words are that if they would just see the Father, then that will give them the strength they need. So this idea of this word sufficient in verse 8, sufficient or enough. Or satisfied. It means to be possessed of unfailing strength, to be strong, to be enough. You know, as in against any danger. You know, and so hence, you know, enough to defend, to ward off. So Philip is saying that if he could just see the Father, then he would be strong enough to face any danger, any discouragement, any challenge. He would be strong enough to do whatever he's called to do. And the thought I have for us this morning is that if we can just see the Father, and I'm going to talk about this idea of seeing the Father as well, but if we could just see the Father, if we could know the Father, then that is all that we need to be strong enough to do what we're called to do, to face the dangers, to face any discouragement, any challenges, because we do, we face discouragement. You know, we face things that seek to put down our faith, to challenge our faith. But if we can take Philip's words and understand this word sufficient, we do have all we need if we just know God. We have all we need to face off the challenges, regardless of what's happening around us, to face the discouragements. The challenges we face, the doubts, the failings, the times, you know, that we might feel we failed, what we've called to do, we'll be strong enough to face if we know the Father. Knowing God is sufficient in itself. We don't, you know, we won't need to add other things. We won't be shaken by questions. We won't be shaken by other people's lack of faith because we know the Father. It's interesting, Philip's comment here where he says, show us the Father. Now, he may have been thinking about a visible manifestation of God, something like Moses saw on the mountain. And most commentators seem to think that's what he's saying. You know, if only he could see God's glory as Moses had. And certainly there are people in the Old Testament who got to see the glory of God, and they were irrevocably changed. They're changed for their entire life. You know, as Moses, you know, the glory of God, when he sees, you know, the glory of God there on the mountain, he's changed. His face is changed. Isaiah sees gets a glimpse of the Lord, and he's changed from that moment on. But even just seeing the glory of God really is not sufficient, because the Israelites there with Moses beforehand, earlier, they'd had a glimpse of the glory of God. And within weeks, they're making a golden calf. They're trying to reduce God down to something they can understand, something that they could put him in a box. So just in that seeing the glory of God in itself was not enough. But it's not that, and Jesus, I guess we could say that Jesus corrects Philip in verse 9. Jesus said to him, you know, have I been with you so long, Philip? He says, you've already seen the glory of God. We'll come to that. But it's the sense of knowing God, and it's the sense of seeking God that is able to be sufficient for us. And so just because we haven't seen a glimpse of the glory of God the same as Moses did, or the same as Isaiah, the same as John in Revelation, the same as what some other people talk about maybe in testimonies, but there's that sense of knowing God and seeking God that is able to be sufficient for us, that's all we need. As somebody said, to desire to know God should be the supreme longing in every Christian heart. And if that's our desire, then that will be sufficient. It's that that will keep us strong. You know, as God said himself, you know, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And we find, you know, throughout the Bible, this promise and this experience so often of people who seek God, and they find that satisfaction. Just a couple here, you know, Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. When I awake in your likeness. So just to be with God, just to be like God, brought that satisfaction to the psalmist there. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's the presence of God that brings the joy, that brings the pleasure, and which then sustains the psalmist. It's the presence of God that brings these. He says there, I don't find these somewhere else. It's only in the presence of God that these are found. And it's the pursuit of the presence of God, it's seeking to know God, that gives us our strength, our sufficiency. And so a pursuit of God brings us satisfaction that we don't need to add to. So Philip says, show us the Father. It's sufficient. It's enough for us. We'll be strong to face the challenges. We'll be strong to do what you've called us to do. We won't need any more. Jesus sort of clarifies that in those verses about what it means to see the Father. It's about having that knowledge of him. It's about having an understanding of him. And if we can have that knowledge of God, that genuine knowledge, that genuine understanding, then we will be fully equipped. We will have all that we need for what we face as well. So some things there for us to take. And I see these in these verses that Jesus talks about, in what Jesus is saying in these verses around Philip's comment, that we can take that will help us to make sure we continue in our relationship with God, to continue in our knowing God. And the first one there really is relationship. We need to have relationship with God. Jesus comes to bring us back into, you know, relationship with God. He comes to restore a relationship with God. You know, verse 6, he said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's not just limiting it to some sort of forgiveness that allows us to come into some sort of a theme park. You know, heaven is a theme park. It's about bringing us back to relationship with God. That's the promise. That's his whole purpose of coming. And even, you know, he talks, and John especially throughout his gospel brings forth this, that Jesus talks about the Father. And we've already had a great little illustration this morning about the Father, haven't we, from Jeremy. The Father, it's about relationship. You know, it's not just his relationship with the Father. He's not just saying, you know, the Father, you know, my Father, you know, not yours, mine. But he's talking about the Father. He's talking now about the disciples also having that same relationship. The same relationship that Jesus has with the Father. You can have that, he's saying to them. And that's what we need to make sure. We need to have that relationship to maintain that place, to maintain that place of knowing God. And actually, just the idea of Father, and it's probably a sidetrack because I'm not sure how it fits in with the next point, but so last week was Father's Day. My girls got me this Father's Day card. It said, a father is someone who can kick and save your butt in the same day. And he opened up and he says, thanks for doing both. And I just thought that was so beautiful. Now, the Bible doesn't really maybe describe it quite that way. But that's what God does, doesn't he? He disciplines us, brings us back to himself. But he saves us also. He does a lot of saving. But the idea of the Father, Jesus talking about the Father, he's talking about his relationship. He's talking about the relationship that the disciples now can have also with the Father. We see it right through the scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I'm sure you're very familiar with the verses 15 to 17. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So we've been given the Spirit that causes us to cry out as children of God. You know, we're made children of God. But the idea that we call out to God, we cry out to God as Father for that relationship. In verse 7, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." He says, if you had known me, then you would have known my Father also. It's about knowing. And Jesus also corrects Philip, you know, verses 9 through to 11. You know, he says, "Have I been with you so long? And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." If the disciples, they had all this time with Jesus, and all the time he's showing them the Father. Jesus comes to show us the Father. We want to know what God's like. We look at Jesus. How does God feel about forgiveness? What does Jesus say? How does God feel about us? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus do? Jesus reveals the Father. And so they've actually seen more of God than what Moses did, than what Isaiah did, because they've walked with him, they've talked with him, they've learned from him for this period of time that they followed him around. And if we could know, and if we could know the relationship that we have in a way, then we will also have seen more of God than Moses and Isaiah. And if we could know what God, you know, what that relationship with Jesus gives us, and if we could maintain that, then we will have seen the Father, and that will be sufficient. It will be all we need to live the life that we've called to do. It will be all we need to face the challenges. Jesus shows us what the Father is like so we can know him, so we can trust him. You know, we frequently see such terms throughout the letters in the New Testament, as such as knowledge, such as fellowship in connection with God. It's not a knowledge of information, but it's a knowledge, you know, a personal knowledge of knowing of somebody, knowing a person. As we see in Paul's desire, Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Not about him, but I may know him. So we must have our own personal relationship with God if we are to see the Father, if we continue to see the Father, continue to know the Father. And that is the seeing God that Jesus is talking about in verse 7. That's the seeing. It's that relationship. And it's that seeing that will suffice us, that will make us strong, that will keep our faith strong. We must have our own revelation of God. You know, it can't be based just on, you know, our parents, just on our friends, just on what we've known in the past. If we don't have our own revelation of God, and our own personal revelation, our own relationship, then when things get tough, when questions start to be asked, we've got nothing to stop us wandering. We foster our relationship of God and our revelation by prayer, by Bible study, by Bible reading, by fellowship, by obedience. But we must have these. They've got to flow from our own revelation, and we've got to foster that. There's a brilliant illustration of this in the Old Testament. It's a brilliant story, but a very sad story, I think. One of the kings of Judah named Joash. When he was 1 year old, and the story is in 2 Kings chapters 11 and 12 and 2 Chronicles 23 and 24. But when he's 1 year old, his father, the king, is killed. His grandmother, you know, who's the king's mother, takes the opportunity. She kills all the heirs to the throne, or so she thinks. But Joash's nurse picks him up, takes him away and hides him in the temple of God. And he's hidden there. And he grows in the temple of God, you know, with the priests. Athaliah, the queen, knows nothing about this. For 6 years he's there. When he's 7 years old, the high priest organizes a coup. You know, the queen, evil queen, and it's not a fairy tale, it's real. But the evil queen is killed and Joash becomes king. Now, he's only 7 years old, he needs an advisor. The high priest advises him. But not just as a boy, but as he grows into a man, he's being advised by the high priest. In his early days, he's a good king. But unfortunately, his life is summed up in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 2. It says, Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. When Jehoiada dies, Joash just goes back to following the idols, making the idols, worshipping the foreign gods that, you know, unfortunately many of his grandfathers, many of his ancestors, you know, most of the people in Judah were doing. It seems that he himself had no personal relationship with God. It was only based on what the priest was telling him. And if our relationship is only based on around what someone else has to offer, then we'll do the same when things get tough. So not only would we have a personal relationship with God, but he would live within us. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples. You've already seen more of God than these Old Testament people. But there's more. And time's getting on, so I won't read it. But in verses 15 to 23, Jesus is talking about, he says, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to be with you, who's going to be in you. And so not only are you going to have more of God, but you're seeing God walking with you for this time. But now God is actually going to be living within you. And that is enough. If we could know that, if we could understand that, if we could understand the power. I remember, I think some people talk about the night they're saved. I remember the night I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And just the idea that God would put his Spirit within me. It's something good for me to hang on to, not to lose sight of that. Yeah, God is with me. What else do I need? God is not only with me, he's inside me. So I just want to quickly just go over a couple of things that also we need just to help us maintain our relationship, our knowing of God, our seeing of God. His relationship is the first one. The second one is revelation. I already talked a bit about revelation. You know, we need a revelation of God, but we also need the revelation that comes through the Bible. The Bible is there to tell us about God. All that we need to know for this period of time while we're on earth is here in the Bible. It may not answer every question that you can think of or the people outside think of, but every question that we need. You know, everything we need to know for this period of time is here. And I get so frustrated when I hear, especially some people who may have had been Christians or had a connection with the church, talk about, you know, or lose their faith, if you like, or wander away because they couldn't understand. But if you read the Bible, so many of the answers are there. You read this part, I don't understand, what's that mean? But if you keep reading it, the answers come and you get to understand them. See, Jesus comes to show us the Father. He says that in verse 7 and verses 9 to 12 there of John chapter 14. John starts in chapter 1 with talking about Jesus as the living Word. In other words, you know, this is God in the flesh. He's come to show us God. And the Bible shows us why Jesus came. It shows us what he did. And he shows us how that affects us now and how to experience that. And so we need to spend time reading and absorbing the Bible. It's necessary for Christian growth. And these are all things the Bible says about itself. It's necessary for Christian growth. It causes faith to grow. It shows us the way to live for God. It's necessary to make me complete. It's necessary for us to be able to see the Father. But if we don't read it, we'll never find this. And also great teaching is important in helping us to understand. You know, I know that, well, the Christian word is blessed, I guess. I've been blessed by some great teaching over the years, which has helped me and helped make the Bible come alive in so many ways. And I'm thankful for that. But having a revelation of the Bible helps us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. And the third one, and this doesn't often happen for me, but it's three R's, is response. Got three things starting with the same letter. We need to have a response. Now, our worship and our obedience are part of our response to God. But there's also this idea of serving Him with the gifts and the calling He gives us are an important part of our response. And that's what verses 12 to 14 are about, where Jesus is talking about sending the Holy Spirit. But He says, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit that you'll be equipped. You know, that you'll be able to do the things that I've done, and even greater than these. It's important that we don't find our identity in what we do, but it's important to express our faith in positive action. You know, becoming insular actually blocks our understanding of God. You know, we need to find a way. We need to find a way to outwork that. If we just, you know, if we don't find an expression. You know, and there's two things. There's expression where within the church, where we serve the church, but also our expression about how we play a part in making sure that we preach this word to every nation. And I was just thinking about it. You know, I love cricket. For some reason I've always loved cricket. And I just remember I was probably only about year three, I think, the first time I got to play, and you're playing against, you know, people in year six and that. But I didn't care that I didn't get to bat or bowl. I was on the field playing cricket. But that's the way it used to be. You know, you'd play, and for the first couple of years, maybe you wouldn't get a bat or bowl. You'd have to field, and you got to be one of the oldest, then you'd get the chance. And often the batting and the bowling was done by only, you know, three or four people. Everyone else is just fielding. And then the rest of us wonder why they get sick of it and don't come anymore. But if we don't find a response, then that can be the same with our faith. You know, our response is, you know, in how we raise our families, how we act in the workplace, but also what we do to make disciples of all nations. It's about continuing Jesus' ministry to all nations. So there's three things can help us to see God, to know Him: our relationship, our revelation, our response. And it's this knowing God. And then I believe that the promise of Jesus there in those first four verses, which we can make that a fourth R, you know, the return of Jesus. These are the things, the return of Jesus and the knowing God make us strong. They give us all that we need. The same word is used in Matthew 10, verse 25. It is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. Jesus is warning the disciples about the persecutions that are coming, but they will have all that they need if they are like Jesus, if they're followers of him. Jesus' strength was his relationship with the Father. So, whether or not Philip was slightly off track with what he meant when he said, "Show us the Father." Let's be like Philip. Show us the Father, and it is sufficient. If we know God, if we can see God, if we can have an understanding, and that it's transforming us to be like Jesus, then we will have all the strength we need against every doubt, against every discouragement, against every challenge, It is sufficient. It is enough. We will be satisfied. We will be content. We will be fully equipped. And that's my encouragement this morning. Just make sure that we understand. You know, the disciples still at this stage didn't understand what they were seeing. But understand that, yes, we can see God. We know God. We have an understanding of him. But then we are fostering that. We don't lose that. And if we can truly understand, we know that then I am fully equipped for what God calls me to. So, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord. Just as you were saying to your disciples in this chapter and in other ones, that the ensuring ones, Lord, you won't leave us on our own. Lord, I thank you that we find strength from you, that you give us strength. Lord, even just in knowing who you are, in knowing your love for us, that strengthens us. Lord, I pray that we will not lose sight of you. Lord, let us not be distracted with the less important things. But Lord, if we could, but Lord, that we would continue to set our eyes on you, continue to know you, continue, Lord, to seek after you, to want that relationship with you, to know you more and more, just like Paul. And Lord, in doing so, Lord, we can know that we are fully equipped. Lord, where people are struggling with doubts or fears, with challenges, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged this morning. Lord, that you would encourage them, lift them up, bring them up. But Lord, I just thank you, Lord, we have what we need because of what you have done, because of your